And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So a couple weeks ago, some people got fed up with their situation just a little bit more, did some horrendous things, posted it on social media, and the Mediterranean, at least the Eastern Mediterranean, a little place called Israel, border of the Gaza Strip, you might have heard of it. There's a lot of people displaced, pissed off, injured, dead, and this is not to be nonchalant. It's not my culture. It's not my upbringing. It's not my religion, either or. I despise all aspects of the human killing. I despise the aspects of keeping people in despicable living locations, but I also despise the fact that, you know, when you go out and attack people and you hide behind civilians, it's kind of a shady ordeal. And I guess I'll expand on the extent of my formal education comes from two fiction locations, Netflix TV series Fauda and the 1983 book The Little Drummer Girl by John Lequier. Both of those kind of looking at the atrocities that happen in the grand scheme of things of the conflict that's been going on for a handful of generations over there. And people in that area definitely have an absolute right to be pissed off at one another. And there's been killings and revenge killings and revenge of revenge killings going on for so long, it's easy to get lost in the grand scheme of things. But over here in the United States, we don't like to pass up a good protest, a good reason for us to stand up for our beliefs, such as like the handful, 34 Harvard groups, sub-organizations at Harvard, signed a little Facebook letter saying that Israel is all to blame for this. And lo and behold, they posted something to the internet. People found out about it. People expanded. People doxed them. Do not approve of that. That's a dangerous situation, again, because so many personal problems, personal involvement is kind of mixed in. There's a LA Times article that's been reposted by Yahoo in the show notes, where the author has friends with relatives on both sides of the conflict, and they say that they're happy to only be one degree of separation from either side. And I guess if you're looking at it from the news story perspective, it's quite the good spot to be, so you can at least more fully grasp all the little intricacies that are going on. And I'm sure there's many of us doing our armchair quarterback Monday morning deal, going through, looking through, finding all the horrendous images on the internet to justify, to support our narrative in one direction or the other. And I'm not going to tell anybody to change their mind on that, but I figure the American universities have already figured this out, seeing as, again, we've already kind of gone through similar situations, and it seems to be getting out of hand. There's been a handful of Ivy League schools that have gotten their funding and their people's fellowships. They've walked away. The funding's been stripped away because the school administration didn't condemn the Hamas attacks. Yet if the school administration condemned the Hamas attacks, the student bodies would go forth and riot, rape and pillage the school administrator building just to prove a point. And it's a scary situation when you let the animals run the zoo, inmates run the asylum. That's kind of where, again, we've gotten to. Looking back to all this, the first thing I was thinking of in terms of all these protests, you know, how do we control it? How do we make sure everybody gets the chance to speak without being shouted down, so that way we can have a good conversation, whether or not, again, we come to a copacetic agreement? But there were those little things called free speech zones, little segments of concrete specifically designated, quarantined off, available between noon and 1 and 4 and 5 on weekdays only. So that way you could go and profess your truth to the world. Seemed like a good fix just a couple years ago when we were shouting down conservatives for their silly beliefs. Or what about the multicultural rooms where it wasn't outwardly stated, but it was implied that white people shouldn't be there because people of color needed a safe space, a spot where they could be not threatened, not felt to be intimidated by people that might share a difference of opinion. One such happening that happened with the multicultural room down in Arizona State University had them bring out and release a letter that they were taking things seriously and they were going to make sure that everybody understood what these multicultural situations, these rooms were for. And within that letter, they say, "We believe that an inclusion means making spaces safer for the most marginalized students. We understand Blue Lives Matter to be an explicit rejection of Black Lives Matter movement and therefore an overt threat to Black lives. In the new multicultural centers, we do not tolerate people entering with racist slogans to intimidate and antagonize historically and currently marginalized students. Inclusion does not mean we accommodate white supremacists, their slogans and behaviors at the cost of endangering all other community members. This has been made overwhelmingly clear by the many death threats we have received. These racially charged threats are directed at two MSC members from BIPOC communities who confronted the two white men with a Police Lives Matter sticker and a Did Not Vote for Biden shirt who were in the multicultural center making students feel uncomfortable. They offer links. If you do not understand the purpose of a multicultural center, click here. If you do not understand why Blue Lives Matter is racist, click here. If you do not understand that reverse racism doesn't exist, click here. If you do not understand what racism is, click here. The Multicultural Solidarity Coalition will keep advocating for students from marginalized communities until we have fully supported and fully staffed multicultural centers on every ASU campus. And we call on students to join us in defending these spaces and to hashtag defend MSC. We believe in that inclusion means making spaces safer for the most marginalized students. Who's marginalized in this conflict, this most recent conflict? It's easy, again, depending on how deep you want to dig, how much you want to side emotionally, justifiably with one side or the other. Kind of hard to choose who's more marginalized, at least in my mind. But then again, we understand Blue Lives Matter to be an explicit rejection of Black Lives Matter movement and therefore an overt threat to Black lives. Well, anybody supporting Hamas, Israeli people, the Israeli supporters might find that to be a direct threat. And the same goes vice versa. Israeli supporters, people who support Israel, and then the people who support Hamas might find that to be an overt threat. So free speech zones, multicultural centers, or even theme-based dormitories where you can section yourself off to like-minded individuals. There's an aspect to like minds. Everybody kind of focusing in on the same problem leads to a better solution, more minds kind of working together. But it also becomes a little bit of an echo chamber. And then when you come in contact with things that are starkly opposed to your way of life, your way of thinking, interpreting, can be violently upturning. We have people, young adults, growing up, learning how to interact with the world, learning about all the things that are going on in a time where social media amplifies everything and the advertisers like it when you interact. So negative feedback is the easiest way to get more interaction, so why should we not show you more things that will trigger you, get you deeper into interacting, show you just that one more ad for dryer sheets or whatever dishwasher fluid or, you know, maybe the car or the cell phone that you're interested in. Again, I believe people should stand up for what they believe in. It's kind of rough when such a statement, such a public statement, and then the amplification and the doxing and the there was a digital billboard truck that was advertising, showing the people's names and faces kind of helping. They said it was to amplify their message, let everybody know how they actually felt. Kind of a dick move. But now these people have been put on employment blacklists. People don't want them from law firms and investment companies. And then as stereotypical as it might seem, you know, if there's a large portion of your clientele that supports one side or the other and finds out that, you know, back in the day, whether or not you've changed your opinions, again, because it's on the internet is forever, but if back in the day you decided to support, endorse, or outright blame one side over the other, it's the clientele. The customer's always right, and they're going to steer the ship of the business. The business likes money, and especially in large investment firms, especially in law firms. There's a special kind of individual that becomes a lawyer, someone who's able to devote time and focus and understand. But maybe these individuals can improvise, adapt, and overcome. Maybe they gather together and they start their own little investment firms, their own little law firms. Maybe they gather together and start little nonprofits, raising money. Give more credence, more power and leverage to the boycott, divest, and sanction movement. That seems so destructive when we're pushing so hard on the diversity, equity, and inclusion aspect of things. The diversity of opinions and ideas, the equity of an individual outcome, however that kind of works out in the grand scheme of things of what's going on here. Then the inclusion, bringing people into the fold, being buddy-buddy, singing kumbaya, again, creating that greater conversation. But this conversation is definitely not one to be easily had. And again, this is kind of just me ragging on the institutions for painting themselves into this corner. And so where do we go as people that are at least willing to comprehend the boundaries, comprehend maybe the extension of what we thought was the boundaries, or maybe I didn't even come close to what the boundaries might be, then how we can at least start the conversation a couple months, a couple years from now, maybe a couple weeks, maybe they figure out a nice ceasefire tomorrow, and it all works out in the end. And again, they're singing kumbaya, you know, by the end of 2023, be something. Might have to eat my shoe. But the gears turning, the thought-provokingness, the ability to have a conversation with those who are willing and able to have that conversation. Because I talk with one of my coworkers, and his relatives are definitely leaning on one side, unwilling to look at the finer details within the greater spectrum of things. And again, it's not to say that one side is more right than the other side, or one side is less right than the other side. But when it's one side is only right and the other side is only wrong, therein lies the problem. So let's embrace some of this new language, these new liberal ideas that have been pushed so hard on college campuses, so that way we can all step back. We don't need riots. We don't need broken glass. We don't need overturned tables. And the only way I see this greater conflict being resolved, which I have no idea how you do, would be the immediate removal of any and all weaponry all over the entire planet. Nobody gets guns, nobody gets missiles, nothing. Just to guarantee that no one gets random hair up their sleeve, gets some crazy idea. But then all it takes, well, again, and then it would also have to take an agreement, an understanding of forgiveness from everybody on both sides. I'm sure there's good people on both sides. But an understanding that bygones need to be bygones. The hatchet needs to be buried. People need to move on. But all it would take to spark this up again in my eyes would just be someone who can't get over it. Someone who's too close to the atrocities that have happened. One side or the other. I'm not going to tell you who's going to strike first. Who's going to take offense. Because all it takes is a rock. A mere point of jealousy. Envy. A level of pride. An excessive amount to lift that rock up and bring it down. No, again, I think our liberal colleges might have something on the starting plans. Got the right idea going. How to implement it, though, that's on you guys. Again, this is not my culture, not my war. But if you're going to bring it to my shores, I'll join in the conversation. I'd prefer not to, though. But we'll see how it goes. But I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, X, Twixer, X, formerly known as Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, if you got one of those instances that hasn't blocked the No Agenda Social location, but I am at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. Go there, boost the toot, retweet the tweet when I send out the show. Maybe you just say, hey, maybe you got a conversation starter. Maybe you have a topic you might want me to look into. All is fair in love and war. But if you don't have any of the social meds that I'm on, that's okay. I've got a website, billybones.com. You go there. I've got links to past episodes. I got links in this episode for show notes, a handful, just to get you started. There's a link for Tabletop Woodworks in case you need a little bit more exchange of value for value, because this show is value for value. If you found value in this podcast, be it the single episode or the entire catalog, fantastic. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe else, someone else finds a talking point, gets the gears turning, gets them down the road. We don't have to solve the world's problems tomorrow, but maybe we can figure, again, those initial steps. But if you found that this show was worth a monetary value, be it Federal Reserve Freedom Units, better known as the U.S. dollar, or Satoshis, little teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin, I accept both. And again, if you don't want to spend actual money on just the show, again, tabletopwoodworks.com. See what projects I've got going on available for sale there. But today, I've got an executive producer who's come in, again, with his monthly donation, Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, sending in his $15 donation. Thank you, sir. Thank you for helping me keep these lights on, this microphone buzzing and humming along. And thank you to everybody else who shared the show. Thank you, Sir Christopher Battles and No Beret, consistently reposting and boosting the toot on the show. You help a lot. Thank you very much. And everybody else. But to thank you again for listening, I love you guys, and I will talk to you next week.